that we're a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes past 12, but if you'll permit, can we take 5 minutes and just share? Is there, I like to know what people's realization is of the practice. Is there anything that, we don't need a lot of words, but if it is a way of articulating your experience, maybe someone else also had that experience and they think, oh yes, I know that. Now they've put words to my experience. It also helps give form to the experience, which is also good. Anything anyone would like to share?
A feeling of lightness.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling of heat around my head and hands.
Uh-huh, good. Bless you.
This divine life in space synchronizes with the teaching I got years ago that all that breathe and all that live share the same breath. And in a way, it's like Chief Seattle, but somewhere in there, that universality of the life and the energy that's in what we otherwise forget and think is empty space. And when we are doing this, it feels so totally full. And it's not at all empty, it's totally full of energy and vibration and light.
When I was asked to present, there's three presenters at the Mysticism and Sound Conference. One is Hedaya Denaikon, and one is Andreas Pachmal, I think is his last name, conductor from Germany. And they asked me to also be one of the presenters. And I felt a little ashamed because, in truth, I know nothing of music, but I do know something of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And my first response was when they called me, I said, well, I think I would like to present on the mysticism of silence. And they said, it's a very interesting subject. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'm in a bit of a corner because how do you talk about the mysticism of silence? But I think what I will, it's like pointing out instructions of what you've said. And it's like when we did the salat and we breathed in the vibration. You see, there's so much in the space. And we often, when we're talking with people, we are not patient. We finish their sentences for them. Or we are always thinking about the next thing. But it's that space that is so dynamic and so full, and we miss it, you know? It's kind of like when I teach design, I tell people, you have to design the space. You're not designing the objects. It's that space that becomes very critical. And like you said, I was lucky. In third grade, I had a nun say to us, if you can remember that the very molecules that where the breath of Jesus Christ still exist, you can breathe those in. And the great music of Mozart and Beethoven, the vibration is still resounding in the spheres. And if you tune, you can hear it. It's like that. And Anaikon told us this too, in his language. It's absolutely full. Hubble telescope isn't pointing at anything. It's pointing at space. It's looking into deep space. And by doing that, not having an objective of, well, I'm looking at the moon or Mars or whatever, what's it discovering? These incredible galaxies that we would have had no way of knowing if we hadn't allowed ourselves to look into the space. Thank you. Anyone else?
There were a couple times on the out-breath where I just experienced this burst of energy that almost had, I mean, it almost knocked me over.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling was I was going to fall over.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel bad.
Again, I think just slowing down, we start to experience energies that are always there that we're not maybe aware of, and where they can come out then, they can start to manifest in the emotional realm or the mental realm. Our thoughts, sometimes we get confused in our thoughts, or we feel anxious, or we have anxiety. It's that energy that kind of gets caught, and then it comes out through one of these realms of existence. And that's why the elemental breaths are so important. We'll talk about that this afternoon, for balancing those levels of our awareness. So if you feel We'll talk about those prescriptively because they are like they're medicine, and we can use them in our daily life. And yes, so thank you. But I wanted to kind of offer that just being aware that, yeah, maybe to move, it's good. It released.
Felt light, I could
float.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and that's how it happens, you see.
Because it's energy that you just.
And so there's no mystery. You know, people say, oh, I levitate. Well, yeah. Maybe they're just tuned to the breath. You know what I mean? And there's stories. One of my great companions are the two St. Teresas, St. Teresa of Avila and St. Teresa the Little Flower. And there are these beautiful stories of St. Teresa of Avila where the nuns, you know, she'd go into her little hermitage, her room, and she would be meditating. And she would be levitating and just in this, you know, mystical state, and the nuns were like, they would pull on her habit and her gowns to try to pull her down.
The original flying nun.
Exactly. Exactly. Karima Gita?
Well, I've been considering in my own practice the comparison sometimes of one experience versus another, because I had become so accustomed to doing Nyas, the healing prayer, vocally. Mm-hmm. And saying it out loud. And by placing the concentration not on the words as they sound when they come out of our mouth, because I become aware of how much the focus is on the sound of the mm-hmm. words that comes out, but to bring the sound of the word internally in silence. And to place that concentration upon the breath is a profoundly different experience for me. And I don't know how to describe that. I only know that the only word I can find for myself right now is that there's a depth in that that I experience. And maybe it's also the difference between just something feeling more externalized, there's also an internalized aspect to that, that one starts to connect with your inhaling, your exhaling, your inhaling, your exhaling. So it's a constant back and forth of giving and receiving in that prayer when you place the concentration upon the swing of the breath.
Yeah, it's thicker, and it's as if the whole body is actually involved in that practice. It stops being... When one continues in this way, one will see it'll stop being a mental process. You won't have to think about it so much, and you'll feel involved, you know, and absorbed. Absorbed, you know, samadhi is absorption. It can come from these kinds of practices, being completely involved and absorbed in the practice. It's a level of consciousness where we're not externally involved, we're inwardly involved.
Two reflections. When I do various wazifa or phrase practices, I often do them where I breathe in and then absorb that sort of deep into my being. And it was interesting to be doing this practice, which involved breathing in and then radiating out. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a power to that that I want to explore further, that it's, you know, some of the, I do some of the practices I do, you know, sort of uninstructed. Mm-hmm. And I think I might, there might be a greater strength to radiating out some of the phrases I do instead of simply absorbing, or its own strength, that maybe it, is a way of moving into a wider ocean of being by following that approach. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that occurred to me is, you gave this instruction to do it with eyes closed. I think there could be a certain strength in doing this eyes open mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. If one maintains the concentration, but does it eyes open, then maybe one is working in a broader field, especially in a natural setting where there's not other people or other distractions. I think it could really strengthen the sense of interchange of energy.
Yeah, and I want to say I didn't give this practice. It's Nikon gave this practice.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So, and I understand that because from a traditional meditation practice, we do that. We do study the glance, open-eyed. But I know that for, and he must also have known this, people that were new maybe to the practice of meditation and that he was giving these practices to, you know, we're so involved with our visual world. Sometimes we just need that rest and that to turn inward. And you, I know, are involved in your Theravadin practice, and so you have a different orientation. And I would say experiment with it. See what your experience is.
Yeah.
I think there would be no objection.
Yeah.
I don't hear him saying anything about that. Yes.
For me, it was such a beautiful way of putting so much together.
Yeah, it's not little pieces.
Yeah, like I knew some of the prayers, but I don't recall ever doing the prayers with the breath.
Yeah,
yes.
Most people.
And I knew the breath, you know, how to do the breath, but they were so mechanical that I rarely ever really became very involved in them. And it was just really... And then there's another element that it seems like it's a natural... In my experience in life, it's become a necessity to be aware of my breath,
mm-hmm.
especially in crowded places
mm-hmm.
or standing in line. Because
yeah.
people get really agitated in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned some time ago that the only way I can make it through those experiences is by being really conscious of my breath and radiating instead of just kind of letting myself go and then taking in, you know, the agitation that's all around me. So it's like, I just really appreciate so much of the integration of understanding on so many different levels.
Two experiences with the mandalas. First, physically, I felt a lot of tingling on the left side of my body.
Okay.
And I was also very conscious of how I'm more used to saying that prayer, looking at the list of people on my fridge that I'm praying for.
Yes.
And so to say it in the way we said it with the breath, and to say me, I realized was unusual. But at the same time, I was still thinking about certain people on my list. So
yes. Yes, yes, and certainly you have to know that they're benefiting from this practice. But he did give it in the singular, and he gave almost everything that way, even done in group.
I was just going to say, when you said that me part, because Nuri and I have had discussions about this, and I'm sure other people have thought about the use of me versus us
mm-hmm.
in that prayer, because I think many of us are accustomed to saying, when we are praying for others, using the word us. Has that prayer ever been given?
No, but I will confess that I also say that prayer every day in two ways. The way it was given by Hazard and Nikon, and then I say it and I stop, purify and revivify all of my teachers and those that have inspired me, all of my students. Well, and by the way, I think that included in the area of teachers, it's like big category and ABC, so it's not like this is hierarchical, because I think all of the students, Sufi students and college students that have come before me, and also my family and my friends and my enemies and all the beings of all the realms of existence, and I pray. I do it in that way, but just so you know. And I pray, heal our bodies, hearts, and souls. I do say that because I want to remember it's so important. You know, if there's sometimes, like for example, with Hadayat and Aziza, you know, I see them, their minds are very vital. And the body starts to go. And really, truly, it wouldn't any of us, if we could, if we all said, I'll give a year. How many years could we give to them if we could offer them that life force? You see what I'm saying? And so you want to think in that way, too, that we can offer even our own life if we had to. They'd get another 20 years, man, be here when they're 120 or whatever. It'd be great.
Well, regarding using me or us, everything in our experience is here.
Absolutely.
There isn't anything out there. So it's perfectly correct to use me, because that's everything. We have a tendency to think that we are insignificant and, oh, well, I should be worrying about everything out there. But it's all here.
And regarding that, the reason I was, because I've noticed when I use those different words, me or us, when you say me, but you're praying for someone else, there's a different experience
that I recognize,
which relates to what you're saying, is then there is no me, us. It's really...
Also, reinforcing what Melinda said, I recall Pierre Goliath years ago at a seminar, and I don't know if this continued to be what he said, but he was insisting on doing the prayer using the word me, inviting us to expand our sense of who we are beyond our personal identity.
That's right, me.
And it seemed like a much more powerful way to do prayer. I'm glad the topic came up.
Well, and the other thing one has to consider is that, in truth, if you look at just your immediate sphere, how many people rely on you? I mean, we are objects of reliance. We're objects of refuge for people. And if we're not taking care of this, how can we possibly help another person? Yeah. Now, I know, you know, I've only gotten through like 3 sentences of like pages of stuff that I brought. So maybe I'll come back again. I'll invite myself. But also, is it okay? I mean, I can go faster, but do you need to, or you think you're getting...
No,
it's okay.
Being
fat.
Please, I hope so. Yeah.
This has been really helpful, because I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
We talk about this at home quite a bit.
Yes.
Because of it, by giving me more of a historical account and a background and so forth. I don't know about others, but it really helps for me to get more understanding, because what I hear you saying is, you know, and things that I've sort of studied is, you know, yes, there's a lot of Buddhism.
Yes.
There's a lot of Native American.
Yes.
There's a lot more. And so when I've asked, you know, how do you define Sufism? Well, it's a spiritual practice. Okay. That doesn't say a whole lot. You know, it's helpful to get more background and more explanation.
Yeah, I never get tired of hearing it either.
So
you know?
I really appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes, thank you. Well, and you know, my Buddhist teachers always, they never get right into the practice. There's always a huge sort of historical perspective that it's put in. And I somehow think that's very important to put things into context.
It is.
Thank you for saying that. Well, the conversation can continue, but you can see that I think it seems that everyone's rhythm is starting to get kind of reset a little bit. And let's see if we can... you know, not artificially maintain it, but kind of let ourselves relax, continue to relax into that even through the break. And, you know, I think if people want to come and sit and absorb, or I'm available for questions, and, you know, we can kind of, in a sense, almost continue with the practice as we eat and prepare the food. Is that all right, people? Mm-hmm. Well, let's wait a minute for Trish. Anything else anyone else would like to share?
I was really drawn to the held breath and the naiads.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's like, you know, that's the space, that's the empty space. And then, you know, when you get that last long out breath, it has like just volumes more power.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
It truly is a science, there's a technology to this, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing when you talk about vibrational frequency. It's a scientific study.
It is.
There are books that you can read that go back to this, and so that's something I studied 20 years ago. So when people now are talking about it, I'm kind of going, okay, so now I'm not a woo-woo anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this was something I dealt with years ago. But it's real interesting because, yes, there are books out there. And if you think about it, we all have energetic systems. There's no way we can get away from that. There's a vibrational frequency that continues to go on and on and on. So it's interesting when you... And that's why I guess I question, because when you're saying, well, Sufism is a spiritual practice, well, isn't it maybe more than that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's...
So
you
had.
But it's a spiritual practice?
Yeah.
I would think one of the people might have been you.
It's okay. Whatever it is, you heard it in that way.
Right.
And so for now, whatever reason, it's
right.
opening for you. You're hearing
right.
it in a different way.
Right.
So it doesn't mean, I notice that a lot. I might say something and someone completely takes it in because it's through their filter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason Hidayat talked to all of us in January. It was New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. He said, this is the reason for the purification breaths every day, because we are always dealing with impressions and we filter everything through those impressions. And if we can purify daily those impressions, then things are clearer to us. We become clear communicators and also receivers. It's like that. No one said you said anything another way, and no one said anything. It's just, it is. And there's no argument about that.
And then, Nuria, it also ties in with the Zoroastrianism, because
mm-hmm.
that's so much the study of light.
Yes.
And with the yoga and Hindu traditions, that, again, the merging of science and spirituality, the science of how everything travels through chakras and our energy systems. So it all overlaps so beautifully, and to tell someone
what it is
involves all those things.
I know from my discussions with Hidayat that even Hazrat and Icon struggled with the name Sufism. Well, it also has a connotations, and so he struggled with that. And I'll tell you, we were in discussions in the Sufi movement, in the executive council, and I'm sort of trying to introduce the idea, you know, the title, his was like, our subtitle is Love, Harmony, and Beauty. You know, and it would be a very long name, but a beautiful name, like the Association or the Society of Love, Harmony, and Beauty. It takes all that Sufism stuff right out of there. Do you see what I'm saying? And then it's like, well, isn't Sufism Islam? And, you know,
happy, healthy, holy
group. Yeah.
You know that
How
one.
Did they get
it? Happy, healthy, holy. And they just put 3H.
Oh, the 3H. Well, and that was the thing with Hidayat. He's like, oh, but you know what? In America, the first thing they'll do is they'll try to make some, you know, acronym out of it, you know. And it's beautiful, you know, the society or the association of love, harmony, and beauty.
We should stand.
We saw her lunch. Well, she was here. She'll be back. By the time we get this organized, she'll be back.
O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within.
disclosed to us by divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy